Hey, thanks for tuning in to the Easttown Podcast. My name is Clint, and here at Easttown, we want to always create a safe space where you can explore your spirituality and not feel judged in the process. Remember, you can find out more about Easttown at easttown.church or following us on Instagram or Facebook. Hope you enjoy this and have a great day. Welcome to Easttown Church Online. This is Clint Dupin, and I just want to say thank you for taking the time out. Thank you for making this a priority. If we've never met before, I would love to meet you, maybe virtually or even in person, but you can simply text Easttown to 94000, and we know that that is a big step for you to do, so we would love to send you a gift for doing that. Today is kind of an exciting day. I know if you're watching this, it might not be as exciting for you, but we are in a new home for Easttown. We're in a new location. And when we first moved here, my family and I, when we first moved here about 4 years ago, we moved into San Ramon and we started looking for a location to call home for Easttown. And ideally, we looked at Iron Horse Middle School, and it's kind of in the heart of San Ramon. But it wasn't available. So we actually started meeting at a different middle school called Windermere Ranch Middle School. And it was great for the first couple of years. Then the pandemic hit. And then we started meeting outside about 6 months ago. And now what's really cool is Iron Horse Middle School has opened up. And so that's where we're going to be meeting in person. So one of the things you'll hear me say, it's always better in the room, right? And so it's one thing to watch online. And I understand if you're on vacation or if you're gone, but if you call Easttown your home or if you're in the East Bay, experience this in person. We would love to meet you. And we believe that community is always, always important and even better. Now, one of the things that I always think about is this, is that if when Easttown moves, right, even like a location, I never want Easttown to be known for a location, but if we did move, it's like, would we be missed, right? Wouldn't that be the worst thing, is that you move out of your neighborhood or you move, you know, out of your career and it's not really missed? And that's kind of my fear, you know, for the church. But here's the thing I know. Offering a great church experience or gathering is not necessarily going to change or impact the community, right? Is we have this amazing team and we try to do the best we can to provide an experience and provide moments where you can see and touch and taste the living God, where you can invite people and you'll be proud of the experience, where people be exposed to the love and the grace of Jesus. Now, when we first started to visit the Bay Area, one of the first things I started to do was to visit different churches in the community. And some of those experiences were great, right? Like, wow, these are incredible churches. And then some, they might just want to shut their doors. I'm kidding. But here's the thing. The Bay Area doesn't really need another church. Well, it does, but what it needs are people who are committed to following Jesus and are passionate about sharing this good news, the holistic love of Jesus with others. Because church gatherings aren't going to change the world. It's God's people. That's the church, right? Living out of the gospel where you actually live. Living out the gospel. Let me say that again. Living out the great news where you live, where you work, and where you play. Like, that's what it's all about. To love like Jesus where we live, where we work, and where we play. A church gathering, here's the truth. A church gathering can be like this huddle, right? We get the play, we receive some encouragement, and we go back out and live this out, right? It's like we come together on a Sunday experience, and we hear what God is doing and where he's moving, and we encourage each other, and we maybe hear a message or we sing together. That's all great. But what matters is the other 6.5 days, right? It's like that part is just so small. Can you imagine showing up to a Niners game, right? Or a Raiders game, and you're sitting there and all they do is huddle, right? Every once in a while, they're down in their huddle and they look around and they're like, yep, the opponent is still out there. And then they just go back into the huddle. But this is often what happens. We think the church is the gathering, but the church is actually the people. It's each one of us. And we often don't want to break out of the huddle, right? We look up and we come to our Sundays and we kind of inward, we do this inward focus thing and we huddle and we think it's all about showing up and all about church. And we kind of look up and we're like, yeah, the world's getting worse. Yeah, it's really bad. And we go back into the huddle and then we wait for the next week. We never break and say, let's go. Let's get the ball down the field. Where is God moving? How can I be a part of it? How can I take it where I live and where I work and where I play? The church isn't supposed to really function like a huddle. It doesn't work that way because when you truly, here's the thing, when you truly have an encounter with the living Jesus, it changes you. You begin to realize that you are the solution to a broken world. And I think this is important to hear is that some of you that are watching, some of you, you haven't really had an encounter with Jesus. You've had an encounter with religion. And it has not been sustaining, has it? It hasn't made it through. It hasn't weathered the storm, has it? It hasn't really, you know, brought you through the pandemic or racial injustice. And it really hasn't sustained you through all of that. And in fact, you've kind of just picked it apart and you've tossed it aside and like, I don't really need that anymore. And in fact, for some of you, you might even say, I don't really need church anymore because you've never had the encounter with Jesus. You've only had an encounter with an institution. There's a complete difference because when you have an encounter with Jesus, you begin to realize you are the solution to a broken world. You realize that your money and your possessions are not yours. They are to be used for the glory of God, to bring holistic healing to the world that we live in. You start realizing that God has placed you in that workplace to be a beacon of hope and light. And we look to the Gospels. Listen to this. We look to the Gospels, the stories of Jesus, to know how we can be a part of this whole parade of the solution. Because we've been talking about tables, haven't we? And we've been talking about food and different things like that because Jesus sat at tables with people who he should have never been sitting around a table with. But over and over, we see these people that were so changed by what they heard and what they received that they went out and they actually changed their world. So they sat at this table with Jesus. They reclined back. They should have never been at that table. Jesus never thought that. He wanted them there. And Jesus would say something. He would speak into them. He would see something in them. He would see them for who they really are. They would get up from that table and they would leave changed. Because that's so true, isn't it? When you have an encounter with Jesus, it always leaves you different. It leaves you changed. You might come one way, but you're going to leave a different way. So the mission of Jesus became their mission, right? It's like when you encounter Jesus, when you understand who he is and what he was about, he actually turns that responsibility over to us as followers of Jesus, if you are a follower of Jesus. If you're not, I just want you to listen in today. So meals, here's what I want you to remember. Meals are the mission. Meals are the mission. I'm going to read for you in Luke chapter 14. On Sabbath, one Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of the prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. There in front of him was a man suffering from abnormal swelling of the body. Jesus asked the Pharisees and experts in the law, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. So taking hold of the man, he healed him and sent him on his way. Then he asked them, "If one of you has a child or an ox and falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull it out?" And they had nothing to say. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. "When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come to you and say, 'Give this person your seat.' Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, 'Friend, move up to a better place.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Then Jesus said to his host, when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers, or your sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, although they cannot repay you. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Righteous means in right relationship with God. The first thing that we see in the scripture is Jesus asking the question to draw out the Pharisees. It's almost like he wants them to make them say it out loud, right? Let them hear for themselves how far they are off the mission that they originally intended to go. To let them hear for themselves how far they have gotten from the mission of God. Now, I do the same thing, right? We all do the same thing. I think about we start with some good intentions, but eventually we just kind of drift. We don't know. I remember my dad took my brother and I hiking when we were younger kids, and we were on this 3-day hike, and it was the third day, and I remember my dad started acting a little bit different, looking at the map more, kind of looking around. I'm like, Dad, are we lost? No, we're all good. Don't worry about it. 2 hours later, Dad, are we lost? Yeah, we might be lost. And, you know, where he would look at his compass, he would look at his map, and I don't know where we started getting off, but there was this point where we should have gone right, and I think we took a little bit of a left, but it was just gradual. It wasn't even a big deal. It didn't even feel like that much, but over time, right, you grow. There's this gap, there's this wedge, there's this distance between where you should be and where you actually are. He knows they are ready to judge for how he keeps the Sabbath. They have become more about the rules, more about making themselves stand out against those who are not keeping up with every law, than they have been about their true mission of their Creator. But Jesus, listen to this, but Jesus is defining his mission very clearly. And once again, he is using the table to demonstrate this. He is saying, I am here for every single person, no matter what they've been labeled, how they have been judged, no matter how they've been made to seem or feel less than, that is who I am here for. And the table is how I'm going to give you a picture of what my mission looks like. But we are tempted just like the Pharisees, aren't we? We are tempted to make up our own way. Our temptation is to figure out how following Jesus can be less difficult or even less messy, and how following Jesus can be about building myself instead of building others up. Now, if you are a follower of Jesus today, I want you to just spend the next few minutes with me considering where you might have gotten off course, where you might have lost sight of the true mission. If you're not following Jesus but wanting to know more, maybe just listening in today, I want you to first acknowledge that as followers of Jesus, we all get it wrong. We all mess up. I get off mission. I miss the life Jesus has really invited me into. I miss the mission of how to really care for others. I can give you an example. On Saturday is a pretty low moment for me. I was at a soccer game up in Sacramento watching my oldest son play, and I felt like the ref might need some help. So I started sharing my viewpoints a little bit, maybe a little too loud. And he looked over, blew a whistle. I'm like, what is he doing? And he actually said, sir, you're out of here. And I go, what are you talking about? That doesn't even make sense. He goes, and he stopped the whole game. He dismissed me. He kicked me out of the game. Now, I've been kicked out as a player. I might have even been kicked out as a coach. Maybe I get a little too intense, right? I'd lost focus. Now, I'm going to talk actually more about that story when we do this series coming up here in a few weeks called The Thing Beneath the Thing, because there's a lot going on that I just wasn't dealing with. But here's the deal. It's like those things were kind of like an indicator, like, man, I have drifted. I've gotten off mission. So maybe today we'll give you a glimpse into the heart of God and what he wants to offer you. So how do we lose track of the mission? How do we lose track? Here's the thing. Our temptation is to check the box, follow the rules for ourselves instead of caring, deeply caring for his people, for our friends, for our neighbors, for the ones we can't stand, for people. But at the table, we see the pain of another up close and personal, don't we? We can't help it. When we sit across the table from someone, we have a far greater opportunity to see what is really going on than in any other environment. Like Jesus, like if we go back to that scripture, Jesus sees the swelling in this man's body, this pain he has been living with that no one has seen or even paid attention to. Now, I think about the tables that I have sat at, where people have revealed pain, where I've revealed pain. I've revealed certain things and people completely ignore it. I've heard people share certain things at a table with me and I've completely ignored it because I wasn't on mission. I wasn't thinking through the lens or seeing through the lens that Jesus would see this person. Our temptation is to gain power and prestige. Today, more than ever, our temptation is to build our own brand, right? And portray that we have it all together. But at the table, we have the ability to give up our place of power and to give that value to another. Jesus is again clearly saying our mission is to give away our own power. That's so against how we feel, and shower value onto others. How many times is our mission neglected because we are worried about earning the right to sit at the place of honor, to be at the head of the table, to be noticed in the workplace, and be held in high esteem? We all desire this, whether it is in our career, in our neighborhood, in our social circles. But Jesus is reminding us that it is completely opposite in his kingdom, right? The lower we can go is all about the kingdom of God. What does he say? For all of those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Here's a way that this could look around your table. One of the things that we do, whether it's a holiday or it's somebody's birthday or, you know, we know them well enough and we're sitting at their table, we always go around and say, what is it that we love about you? So if it's your birthday, Simon, right? We would say, what is it that we love about Simon? In fact, there's a person, one of my son's friends, his name is actually Simon, and he loves this. Like on his birthday or when we're together, he's like, hey, do that thing again where you go around the table and tell me everything you love about me, right? Every time I'm doing it, every time we do it, I'm reminded that this does not happen in our world. It is a fight to the top, and people are more worried about feeling okay about themselves than they are most of the time about building others up along the way. People don't even know what to do with it at first, right? But we all long for it. Something this little around the table makes a huge difference. Let me just pause real quick because I was just with this guy the other night and he was sharing with me about this guy he works with. And when they would eat lunch, he was always so happy and he was always asking me about my life and he was always encouraging me. And he's like, he annoyed me. It drove me nuts. It wasn't normal. And then he goes, then I started to think about it. He's like, every time I'm around him, I'm happy. I have joy. Because here's our temptation. It's to invite those into our lives who look like us, believe like us, and have achieved like us. But at the table, we have the opportunity to share what we have with those who have been overlooked, with those who may be lacking. Again, there are very few settings like the table that allow us into a person's story and give us a window into what they are actually experiencing. Think about the lengths we go to in order to portray the image that we want people to believe about us. Part of the way we portray that is to surround ourselves with others who have achieved those things. But at the table of Jesus, he has sent us on mission to set everyone is equal. Everyone is welcome, and everyone has the ability to be fully satisfied as we share what we have been given. Don't set a table for someone who can offer you the same thing in return. This is what Jesus reminds us of. You can give something, right? Almost knowing they will give the same thing back. Jesus says, set it for those who may not have the ability to give anything in return. Now, I'm not gonna lie, this takes more effort. It is way easier to fill our tables with those who are in the same circles and at the same status as we are. But Jesus says this, it is not the way my mission will be fulfilled. I gave my life for you, and I'm asking you to give your life for others. And here is the beautiful picture we see as we seek to live out the mission that God has sent us on. We're reminded that God is holistic. He's a holistic God. He demonstrates over and over that we are to first share a meal, to share what is personal, to share what we are already doing, to share what is a physical need of all, so that we might gain a window into the deeper healing that God might want us to be a part of. So the truth is this. This is why the table is the first step towards healing a hurting world. Let me say that again. This is why I really believe here at Easttown, we always say, hey, before you invite them to anything a part of Easttown, invite them to your table. Share a meal with them. Love on them. This is why the table is the first step, like I said before, to the healing of a hurting world. This is the mission that Jesus is calling us to. Now, can you imagine if the tables we set were on mission? Our dinner tables, our school lunch tables, our work tables, our lunch tables, our night out tables. Now, I'm not saying that people are becoming our project, not at all. Or we feel the pressure to tell them about why we should know Jesus and every time we are around that table. That's not what I'm saying. Don't be annoying, right? Don't be that person. This is what the Pharisees were all about, just checking the boxes, that pressure to perform. But if our tables were set to simply demonstrate the love of Jesus, if our tables were set with the intentionality to truly see people, to add worth and value to people, and to share what we have with those who have been overlooked and may be lacking, what would change? What would change in your neighborhood? What would change in your workplace? What would change in your schools? What would change in our cities? Because all through Scripture, we see the holistic healing of Jesus as he shared meals and lived out this mission. I guarantee we would begin to see the same. Now, I want to go back to the Pharisees. The way they were living created pressure on judgment, both for themselves and for everyone around them. Jesus is showing this is not from me. He's telling people, this is not the way I want you to live. We place too much pressure on ourselves that to live on mission for Jesus means we have to talk about him and tell people what they should, why they should follow him. When we talk about setting the table and the meals we share, I want to be very clear. It's not the meals that save people. People are saved through the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. But Jesus is saying, I am demonstrating a pressure-free, judgment-free way for you to have the opportunity to love others and meet the needs of others in a way that will demonstrate the way I love them. And as we do that, we will be amazed at the opportunity God allows for us to share about who he is and why we live and love the way we do. Because there's something people will start to recognize in you that they want, and that's the person of Jesus. If a person sat at the table of Jesus, that person would leave a changed person. Jesus wants you to continue to bring change to people through the tables we set. Now, I want to end with a couple of questions, because I want you to start applying this to your life. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to write these questions down because I think this week you can start something new in your life. And by the way, when I say new, I'm not talking about adding something else to your schedule. Invite them into what you're already doing. First, who is God asking me to set a table for? Who is God asking me to set a table for? And the second thing is this, what table is he asking me to set? What table is he asking me to set? Is it my dinner table? Is it my school lunch table? Is it my lunch table? Is it my work table? Is it my night out table? I just want you to imagine with me what would begin to happen, not just in your life, but in the lives of others. And remember, people are not projects. It's not about, hey, how can we grow Easttown and do all this? It's like, I know some people are watching. You're part of another church. Maybe you're not even going to church. Just start applying this in your place of living, your place of work and playing. Let me pray for you. God, as we come to the table, Lord, we have to see ourselves as inadequate, but you see us for who we are. You love us just the way we are. Lord, as we set tables this week, starting this week, Lord, we just pray that we do it for the right reasons, that we have an opportunity to love people like you love them. In your name, amen. I just want to say thank you for joining me today. We're going to continue on this series. We're actually ending this series next week. I'm really, really excited for it. But I also want to say this. Thank you for those of you who continue to be generous here to Easttown. We're able to continue online. We're able to do this in person as well. And we're also able to make a difference with our Love Local partners. One of the ways we're doing it right now is stepping into it with our Afghanistan refugee brothers and sisters right now that are pouring into the Bay Area. We were able to raise some money to give away gift cards. We were able to actually rent a portable storage facility that we're placing in Fremont. And we're going to tell you more about that. You can see those pictures right now. But when you give here to Easttown, when you are generous to Easttown, we are able to be a part of the solution in this place. Thank you for being on mission with us. Thank you for being generous. And you can do that by simply texting GIVE, G-Y-V-E, to 313131. And you can even go to the website, and there's different ways to give. Some people give through their stock. Some people give in different ways as well. You can make out a check as well. Just simply go to easttown.church/give, and we'll tell you more about that. God bless you, and I hope that you have an amazing week.